Thank you for joining us for this message. Whether you are watching for the first time or are simply catching up on a message you missed, we are so glad you are connecting to God's Word today. Our hope is that as you listen to the message, you will experience a real encounter with God. Please consider giving financially to support God's work through our ministry. You will find several options to do that by clicking on the word give in the menu on our website at kentwoodcommunitychurch.com. May you be inspired by the word today.
How often do you find yourself thinking about the future? Think about that for a minute. You know, when I was a kid, I thought about the future all the time. It seems like as I get older, I think less and less about the future. But I remember thinking when I was younger, where am I going to live? I grew up in the Hoosier State. Never dreamed I'd be up here in Michigan for the majority of my life now, hard to believe. I thought, where am I going to work? Who am I going to marry? You remember asking those questions when you're a kid? How's my life gonna turn out? I remember there was a place in our house where as I became a believer, I started to pray. It was my kind of my prayer space. And it was where I specifically most remember praying for my future spouse. I had no idea who this person would be. And I would sit down right up against, I put my back up against our big multiplex stereo. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? Multiplex stereo, big cabinet with green velvet like over the speakers on each side and a turntable in there. Is anybody, you with me so far? And so I would sit there and I'd pray, and I remember just, that was my space. I remember praying for my spouse and wondering, I wonder what she's like. I wonder what her family's like, what her parents are like. And little did I realize that after I got engaged and my family was moving out of that house at the same time that I was about ready to move and to get married, and we were moving and we're cleaning out that multiplex stereo, and I found this. This is an 8-track. Okay, I know I'm going way back this morning. Does anybody know what an 8-track is? Yeah, the most confusing piece of audio ever with the worst quality sound. I don't know how these things ever made it, but I found this 8-track and my mouth dropped open because literally a few inches from where I'd spent years praying for my future spouse was a picture on this 8-track of my in-laws. See, they were traveling musicians, and somewhere along the way, my parents picked up this 8-track, and there was a picture of my in-laws, like, just a few inches away all those years I've been praying. Isn't that crazy? And what I want to talk to you about today is I want to talk to you about your future for a minute. Because God, for all of us here, has a future for us that's bright, that's hope-filled. That's something that he has as a gift for us if we continue to follow him. We're going to talk about that this morning. Well, as Annie mentioned, it'll be a few weeks. On November 1st, in just a few weeks, we'll have celebrated 10 years since we started Never the Same. We started back in 2009, and here we are today. It's kind of crazy. We're so grateful. And in so many ways, this is the birthplace of our organization and what we continue to do these days. We minister to tens of thousands of students all over the country with some initiatives that began right here in this congregation years, and some going back to 20 years ago that are coming to fruition now. As you see, students being touched all over the United States and even all over the world as they attend our summer camps. We had over 4,000 attend our summer camps this summer at NTS and KCC. We're so grateful to continue to be a part of that. We have conservatively over 35,000, probably upwards over 40,000 students meeting for prayer around the country at schools, at middle and high school. We're talking about middle and high school students meeting at their school to pray. And it started with a handful of students here back in 2005 that began to meet weekly at East Kentwood High School right here in our community. It's pretty amazing to think of all the things that God's done. And I want to tell you about one more thing. A dream that I've had for many, many years that will come to fruition next summer, an event called Claim Your Campus 2020. Claim Your Campus 2020, we are hosting an event with 100,000 students from around the country in Kansas next July 4th weekend, and we are calling them to pray. We're equipping them to pray and to share their faith at their school. Students from 10,000 schools, 15% of all schools in the United States will be gathered together next summer for Claim Your Campus 2020. You know, it's been 50 years since Woodstock. You know, this August was 50 years. Now, a lot of people, it's amazing. As adults, I would imagine probably almost, if not every single one of us, know what Woodstock was. But did you know that students know what Woodstock was? And that shows you the impact of that event 50 years ago that's still affecting our society. What would it be like if we hosted a gathering where God met with a generation of our students here in the United States and America, and it were to touch our nation with prayer? And that's what we're calling for next summer. So I'm going to give you permission to do something real quick that might distract you from what I'm saying, but it will be worth it. If you're interested in praying for this event right now, just take out your phones, go to claimyourcampus2020.com, and there's a little thing at the top that says get involved, and it'll be a pull-down menu and just says join the prayer team. I would encourage you to join in prayer. We want to get 10,000 adults that are praying for this momentous and historic event next July 4th for Claim Your Campus 2020. So claimyourcampus2020.com, join us there. Hope you can be a part of what God is doing. And I want to say thank you. I want to say thank you for being a part of the journey. This church has meant so much to me and my family and us in the journey. As you've supported us, you've encouraged us. Many of you here, even I'm looking at some faces that have contributed financially. You've prayed for us. You've encouraged us. And I just can't tell you how much that's meant to us as we continue to chase after the dream of ministering and passing on faith to this next generation. So thank you for being a part of that. We're so grateful. And all the campuses, I want to welcome all those that are watching, the Juvenile Detention Center at Nagpur campus, all those, could you welcome them this morning? I want to thank them for being here with us as well. We're starting a new series today called We Not Me, and we're going to be looking at the book of Ruth. So we're going to go old school today. There's Bibles in the rows there, or you might have it on your phone, but pull out your Bible. It's not going to be on the screen, just to warn you ahead of time. Ruth chapter 1. It's kind of towards the beginning of the Bible. You got the first five books of the Bible, Genesis through Deuteronomy, and then you got Joshua, Judges, and Ruth. That's where we're going to be. Ruth chapter 1, it's four chapters. I want to encourage you over the next 3 weeks as we're in this series just to read through that book. You can read through it multiple times. It's the story of faith and courage of a young woman named Ruth. And we're going to begin in her story today. Now, this story is set in the Old Testament, which is primarily the story of God's people, the nation of Israel, as they go through their ups and downs. And we're at about 1250 BC, somewhere around there, scholars believe, during the time of the book of Judges. And in this time, we're talking about a family. There's a man named Elimelech, and he married a woman named Naomi, and they had two sons, Mahlon and Chilion. And these two sons moved from their homeland near Bethlehem, we're going to show you on a map here in a minute, up to a place called Moab, and there, their two sons became married to two girls, Orpah, which sounds like Oprah, that's how I remember it, Orpah and Ruth. And over the course of time, Elimelech passed away, and their two sons passed away, leaving Naomi with two of her daughter-in-laws. And there they were. And we're going to pick up in Ruth chapter 1. We're going to read it together. In these days when the judges rule, there's a famine in the land. So a man from Bethlehem in Judah, together with his wife and two sons, went to live for a while in the country of Moab. The man's wife was named Elimelech. His wife's name was Naomi. And the names of his two sons were Mahlon and Chilion. They were Ephraimites from Bethlehem, Judah. And they went to Moab and lived there. Now Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died, and she was left with her two sons. They married Moabite women, one named Orpah and the other Ruth. And after they had lived there about 10 years, both also died. And Naomi is left without her two sons and without her husband. When Naomi heard in Moab that the Lord had come to the aid of his people by providing food for them, she and her daughters-in-law prepared to return home from there. With her two daughters-in-law, she left the place where she had been living, and she set out on the road that would take them back to the land of Judah. Then Naomi said to her two daughters-in-law, "Go back, each of you, to your mother's home. May the Lord show you kindness as you have shown kindness to your dead husbands and to me. May the Lord grant that each of you will find rest in the home of another husband. Then she kissed them goodbye, and they wept aloud and said to her, we will go back with you to your people. But Naomi said, return home, my daughters. Why would you come with me? I'm not going to have any more sons who could become your husbands. Return home, my daughters. I am too old to have another husband. Even if I thought there was still hope for me, even if I had a husband tonight and then gave birth to sons, would you wait until they grew up? Would you remain unmarried for them? No, my daughters, it is more bitter for me than for you because the Lord's hand has turned against me. It says, at this they wept aloud again. Then Orpah kissed her mother-in-law goodbye, but Ruth clung to her. So we find here when we look at the story of Ruth that Ruth was put in a very, very difficult situation. And Ruth did not plan on life taking her this way. And in that time and in that society, if you were left without a husband in that situation, you were very, very vulnerable. Now, widows today still find themselves in this state of vulnerability, but thankfully there's a lot more systems and structures. But in those days, this could have meant disaster for Ruth. Finding herself not only without her husband, without any caretaker, in a very, very male-dominated society, she found herself in this situation that I'm sure she had not planned on being in. You know, she had moved up to this, Naomi had moved up to Moab and then became connected in this other place and then wanted to go back. And here Ruth is faced with a decision. And it could have been a life or death situation, literally, for her in deciding what she was going to do. And Naomi's saying to her, Ruth and Orpah, listen, there's no need for you to go with me. I'm not going to have any more sons. You should stay here where there's hope. You should stay here where you can find another husband, someone else that might take care of you, they can live your life with. Little did she realize she'd ever find herself in a situation where she'd have to make this decision. Now, that brings us to today when we think about where we might be and where you might be in your life right now. You might be in a very, very difficult situation. You might be facing financial constraints that you don't think you have an answer for. You might find yourself in a relationship that just seems on the brink and it seems like it's going to implode and you don't know what to do. Or maybe there's an impossible challenge or something happening in your career that you just don't know how to overcome. And when we find ourselves in those difficult situations, it's easy to lose hope. You know, recently, I just remembered 3 years of losing my mother. And before, a few years before that, my father had passed. So it's been very difficult to find myself without parents. And some of you have experienced a loss like that. And you might find yourself in a situation where you never thought you'd be grieving the loss of someone in your life. You know, I find great hope in Psalm 68. We're going to put it up on the screen. I want you to see this passage. It gives such hope. Sing praises to God and to his name. Sing loud praises to him who rides the clouds. His name is the Lord. Rejoice in his presence. He's a father to the fatherless, a defender of widows. This is God whose dwelling is holy. God places the lonely in families. He sets the prisoners free and gives them joy. You might find yourself today mourning and weeping and in a difficult situation, but you know, we serve a God who's greater than any circumstance we're going to come across. You might find yourself in a situation that you never planned on being. I'm here to remind you that no matter how difficult that situation, no matter how big or small, that God's greater and he's here to give us hope. Because you may have found yourself in a situation you had nothing to do with, and all of a sudden now you're going, how did I get here? When I dreamed about my future, I never planned on being where I am right now. But you know, God still has a plan. You know, it reminds me of a true story. Someone I know, she had a friend who was house-sitting for a home in downtown Boston for an older couple, and they had this older German shepherd, and they were going to be gone for the weekend, so this young lady came to house sit for them, And they were giving instructions about, you know, how to take care of the home. And they said, listen, our dog is really old. And we've been thinking that he may pass any day. So if that happens, here's the name of the vet, and just make sure you contact him, and then it'll all be taken care of. Well, they left that night, and sure enough, that old German Shepherd didn't make it. So now she found herself in a situation that she really was told what to do, but it seemed kind of weird to figure out. So she called the vet, and the vet said, yeah, just bring over the dog, and we'll take care of it. And so she thought to herself, well, I took public transit to get here. I don't have a car. How am I going to get this dog over to the vet? Pretty difficult situation. She figured out the best idea that she could come up with is she emptied out her suitcase and she stuffed that dog in there, zipped it up, and headed to the subway. Not quite a day you think would be planned, right? Kind of a difficult and awkward situation. You might be in a situation where you go, I really don't know what to do. I don't know what's ahead. I don't know where my life is about to take me. And this is exactly where Ruth found herself. Then we find in, after it says that Ruth clung to her, verse 15, says, look, said Naomi, your sister-in-law is going back to her people and her gods. Just go back with her. Orpah wept and then said goodbye and was beginning to say her goodbyes to Naomi and go back to where they had lived and grown up. And Naomi said, listen, go with your sister-in-law. Makes no sense for you to go with me. And then Ruth made a bold choice here. Verse 16, and this would define her life forever, this decision. Verse 16, but Ruth replied, don't urge me to leave you or turn back from you. Where you go, I will go, and where you stay, I will stay. Your people will be my people, and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die, and there I will be buried. May the Lord deal with me, be it ever so severely, if even death separates you and me. So when Naomi realized that Ruth was determined to go with her, she stopped urging her. And here's what Ruth did. Ruth staked her future on giving rather than gaining. Ruth took all of her future and she said, I'm not going to think about my own life. I'm going to think about taking care of my mother-in-law, and I'm going to give rather than gain. And that is such a bold decision in that moment of her life to think of all the things that she faced. This could have literally meant living a life of poverty for the rest of her days, forgotten, unprotected, unknown, unwanted. And yet Ruth makes this bold decision to Naomi, her mother-in-law, and says, listen, I'm not going back. I'm going with you. And may God even deal with me severely if I don't do what I'm telling you I'm going to do right now. She stakes her future on giving her life away. And I think that's important for us to understand that when we think about our future, it's important for us to remember that our lives are meant to be given away. You know, we got a lot of consumers in our world today, don't we? We got a lot of takers. It seems like there's really not very many givers. It's interesting because for years, when I've counseled young couples getting married, I would say this to them. Listen, the more selfish that you are in your marriage, the less satisfied you'll become. But yeah, the opposite is true. The more selfless that you are, the more satisfied you'll become. Isn't that amazing? It's kind of a paradox that the more you give, the more you get. And I think that's so true, not only of marriage, but in life and how we deal with others and our relationship with the Lord. When we think about this idea of we, not me, if we find ourselves giving ourselves away and looking to the needs of others and thinking about how we can help other people, we will find that we will receive so much satisfaction from God. But yet when we're taking, when we're consuming, and we're trying to meet our needs in these ways that we weren't designed to be met, we'll find that we're much less satisfied. Now, you remember the young lady that was faced with that difficult situation with the dog? How could you forget, right? So she finds herself awkwardly pulling this suitcase, and she very clumsily pulls this very heavy suitcase onto the subway when a very chivalrous gentleman, they still exist, I guess, said, "Oh, that looks really heavy. Let me help you with that." And he helps her carry it onto the subway as she gets on, and then he strikes up a conversation with her. He says, "Man, that is really heavy. What do you got in there?" Now, what do you say? You could say, "Well, I got a dead carcass in there. How about that?" She felt like that maybe wasn't appropriate. So she said the first thing that came to mind, she goes, "Oh, it's just a bunch of electronics." I don't know where that came from, but she just said it. So the conversation continued. A few stops go by. The door opens. The man grabs the suitcase and runs out before she can catch him, thinking he had just scored. Can you imagine what it would have been like a few minutes later when he was like, "Yes!" And he opened up that suitcase and there was like a head looking at him? That's so true about living life, that the more we choose to satisfy ourselves. You see, he was living for his own satisfaction, and what she realized in trying to help these people is he actually helped her out. He took her burden away. And that's true for you and me, that when we live our lives, if we live for our own gain, we find ourselves much less satisfied. You know, in this difficult situation that Ruth was in, I want to remind you that she could have easily said, "Woe is me, I'm the victim here. You know, I never planned on this, and God's against me." We even see a little bit of that in the language, in the conversation with Naomi, the mother-in-law, where she's like, "God's against me." You know, Ruth could have said all those things. "Well, you know, God doesn't love me, and he's not for me, and all these terrible things have happened." And what's so powerful about her example is that instead of being a victim, Ruth was a victor. Instead of taking all these circumstances that life brought her and said, "Woe is me," she said, "God is my helper." I'm here to remind you this morning. I don't know how your mentality is these days, but instead of feeling sorry for ourselves, we need to remember that we're a child, we're a son, we're a daughter of the Most High King. That God is for us, not against us. That when our heart and maybe even a voice in our head says, "I can't do it," we can have the spirit of Paul that says, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." I can do it because God's on my side. Listen, God's not against you. If you need to be reminded this morning, God's not against you. He's for you. And life may be beating you up right now, but I just want to remind you that God's gonna take you through to the other side. That you can live a life victorious. Don't consider yourself a victim. You can say like Paul said, "I'm not just a victor. I'm more than that. I am more than a conqueror in Jesus Christ." Because of what God's doing in your life. If you trust him to take you there, because he will, he'll take you there if you trust him. Ruth's example of faith was so powerful because her sacrifice had an immeasurable impact on her future generations. You know, what we find in Ruth's story is that because of this key decision there in verses 16 through 18, where she says, "No, I'm not going back to my home. I'm going with you. I'm choosing to give myself away. I'm choosing to give rather than to gain. I'm choosing to serve rather than to be served." When Ruth decided to make that choice and to walk that path, little did she realize the impact that she was about to make on the world. You know, as you read through her story this week, as you're reading this amazing story, you'll find that Ruth and this decision has a direct impact on two very, very remarkable things. Number one, it has an impact on the entire course of the nation of God's people, Israel. And number two, it has a direct impact on the lineage and the heritage of Jesus Christ himself because of Ruth's decision right here. You know, we have a responsibility as believers to pass on faith. You know, I've staked my life on it. My entire life, I've believed that it's our responsibility, and I'm speaking here to adults, it's our responsibility as followers of Jesus to pass on our faith. Psalm 45 says this, I will bring honor to your name in every generation. Therefore, all nations will praise you forever and ever. I will bring honor to your name in every generation. The psalmist here is saying, I'm going to bring honor to you in the next generation. And then that generation will bring honor to you in the next generation. And that generation will bring honor to you in the next generation so that all nations will praise you. And this is exactly what we find in the heart and the spirit of Ruth, is that she made this decision and it impacted generation after generation after generation because of her faith and commitment to give and not gain. Where are you in passing on the future of faith to those around you, to your family, to those that you might come in contact with? All of us here are indebted to those before us. It's because of those before us that we're here right now at this moment. And we've been charged to continue to praise the name of God throughout every generation. And I'm so grateful for those that have gone before us. I think about a young girl named Ethel Sager, and about 100 years ago, she went to an old-fashioned camp meeting in her little town and gave her life to Christ. Before that, she'd been this rebellious young girl. This is a picture of her. I think she's about age 13 in this picture. Imagine growing up around the turn of the century. At 16 years old, she came to know Jesus. She came home to a family that was not friendly at all to this decision or to her newfound faith. And her mother told her, Ethel, you have a choice. You have to choose faith or you have to choose your family. But if you're going to live in this house, you can't have both. If you choose to go back and to keep following Jesus and to stay connected to this faith community, you can't live here. Now imagine a 16-year-old young lady faced with this situation, not only much less today, but even more so over 100 years ago. And she decided to follow Jesus. And it wasn't easy. She came home, and all of her stuff, all of her belongings were out in the front porch in the front yard. A clear signal from her family, you're no longer a part of our family. So she moved out, she found a community of faith, and she found herself one day in the future becoming an ordained minister. And she married an ordained minister, and they had this incredible ministry together, and they had children. They had a daughter named Augusta Wilson. And Augusta went on to serve the Lord and inherited this faith from her mother. And she went and she continued to serve faithfully as she grew up. And then she became married to a man named Lauren. They spent their whole career and lives traveling around the United States telling people about Jesus through music. And then they had two children, and they had a son named Jerry and then another daughter named Ethel, named after her grandmother. And Jerry and Ethel both served God faithfully, and they're still serving him throughout their lives. Jerry had two daughters, one of which I had the privilege to marry. And because of a 16-year-old's faith, not only is it impacting our generation, but our wonderful daughters continue to carry on the legacy of faith. Five generations later, because one 16-year-old said, I'm in. It's not about me. As we travel throughout the country, one of the things that we say to students, we have students that come up to us every summer at NTS camp, and they experience this new life in Jesus, and they come to us and they say, pray for me. I'm going home to a family who doesn't understand how God just changed my life. You know what we say to them as we pray for them? Listen, you're not the only You're not the only one in your family. You're the first. You're the first. You know, Ethel, she made that decision as a 16-year-old, by the time her life was over, was able to go back and to lead every single person in her family to Jesus. Friends, the decisions that we make impact generations. When we choose to give our lives away, only heaven knows. Only heaven knows how this world will be changed because of a decision that you might make that will not only change your future, but will change the future of faith in generations to come. So grateful for his word this morning. So grateful for our time today. I'm so grateful for the story of Ruth, the truth, the inspiration that we can find. I want to invite you, as you think about where you are in your lives today, there's some reflection and action to consider. As you think about your life, I want to invite you to be a giver. I want to invite you to give your life away. You know, if you don't know what that's like, it's a wonderful way to live. I was even thinking this morning that there may be someone here that's never experienced this new life in Jesus that we're talking about. And I just feel like I cannot help but offer an opportunity to pray for you this morning. And I'm going to invite you as we pray here in a moment to consider if you might want to make that decision for the first time in your life to say, I want to surrender my life to this God that has a plan for me and loves me. So I'm going to invite you to bow your heads as we pray. And as I begin to pray, if any of you here would just simply put up your hand and say, I want to make that decision this morning. I want to invite you to put your hand up right now to where I can see it. And I want to pray especially for you. I see a hand. Any others? So grateful for you. Thank you so much for raising your hand this morning. Is there anyone else? Father, I thank you for this decision this morning to follow you that will impact generation after generation. Father, I thank you that we have the opportunity this morning to remember those of us that have made this decision, what it means to follow you. Father, I pray for my friend whose hand is up this morning that you would guide them. Lord, that you'd help them to stay connected here at KCC. And God, you would help them know how wonderful it is to follow you. Father, for my brothers and sisters here this morning, we are grateful that we've been able to open up your word, and we ask that you'd continue to give us the strength and division to be able to give our lives away, not for the satisfaction of ourselves, but for your glory and for the needs of others around us. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.